listen to myself in the mirror.
Good morning, Discovery. How's everybody doing today? Not awake. Okay, got it. Well, we're going to start some time of worship. Thank you. We're going to start some time of worship. So if you are able, please feel free to stand with us. We're going to move around, you know, wake up those joints and our voices, and spend this morning praising the Lord.
Welcome, glad you guys are here. And I ran out of the, I always want to say place. Says, I don't know why, I just like, I ran out of that place.
Nicer.
It feels kind of weird, huh? Okay, have a seat, take a load off. Welcome to Discovery. We're glad you're here. As you're getting comfortable, pull out this thing. It's a worship folder. There's a bunch of things inside. I'm just going to highlight. I won't read through the whole thing, but I would encourage you, particularly if this is your first time with us, just take a few minutes and kind of peruse the information in here. You're going to see a card in here that's called the connection card. We want to encourage you to take a few minutes and fill that out. We would love to know that you're here. We're not going to sell your information. We won't misuse it. We do want to send you a little thank you and find out if there's any way we can serve you. So we're not going to pass any offering plates. It's one of the things that we haven't been doing. On your way out, to fill out this connection card and drop that in the box. Now, you're going to see some people around you. Watch this. I'm going to say, you're going to see some people around you filling this out right now. Now, I say that, I'm looking all over. I'm like, Jason, no laughing, just fill one out. Okay, just kidding. Everybody just say hi, Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Yeah. So Jason's in back, and he's right next to Carly. They are right now helping our live stream. So here, live stream. Hey, thank you everybody for joining us also on live stream. Live stream, same things for you. You don't get to walk over and drop this in, but there is an online connection card. Please take a minute, fill it out. And we want to know you're here, but we want to know how to pray with you. We want to know how to partner with you. And if you have any questions on live stream, you can just shoot a note out to Carly or Jason, and they will love to help you. Did I say that accurately? Okay. Okay, sounds good. All right, what else? Jesse, come on down. Give it up for Jesse. Do we have a mic for Jesse? There it is. The applause ended way too early. Now there's a lull, so you're going to have to do something. Yeah. Yeah.
We got it. It's here.
Yeah, you're doing good. You did okay. You made it up here. And we're glad. You kind of coordinate. Everything's kind of black and gray.
My wife dresses me.
She did a great job. You notice what I did? I kind of went the blue thing today.
You look so good.
Yeah, you know what? The thing is, my wife didn't dress me today, and that's kind of usually the problem.
You look fantastic. I got insoles this last week from the chiropractor for the first time. So, yeah, getting old, guys.
Insoles.
Insoles.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's other things you want to talk about other than insoles.
I mean, not really. I mean,
okay. Good.
No, what we really want to talk about today is, guys, I don't know if you guys know, but we have some incredible young people that attend Discovery. So back in the 1960s, you remember the 1960s, right, Pastor John? There's a little group called The Who, and they had a song called The Kids Are All Right.
Yeah.
And a good song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I was way before my time. But the thing about that is, like, truly, your guys' students, your kids, they're more than all right. They're great young people.
Yes.
And, you could clap for that for sure. Yeah. Every week, they have questions about the Bible. They have questions about Jesus. We're reading scripture together. We're discussing these things. And it's a great opportunity for all of us as adults to learn from them. There's not one weekend where I don't walk away questioning something because a 13-year-old brought something to my attention. So there's two things that I want to say up here. If you have any heart for people, young people, then please find me, fill out a connection card. We would love if you would join us on Sundays to partner with these students in asking some of these hard questions. It doesn't matter if you're cool. They would all say, like, am I cool?
No.
No, they're all shaking their head no.
I knew that answer.
It doesn't matter if you're cool. It doesn't matter if you're young, old. All we're asking is that people would want to be present with these young people. So if you want to be present with some young people, if you want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, especially like patience and self-control, then like hang out with a junior high kid. It's amazing. It's going to grow you in amazing ways. And then we also have a new opportunity that we just started this last week is we have Wednesday night midweek now. So we're meeting midweek at Resurrection Church over in the Stadium District at 6 o'clock. And it's another opportunity to partner with these young people to Have fun and disciple them in some really cool ways. So it's a great opportunity. Find me if you want to know more. Fill out a connection card and I'll call you this week. But we would love to see you there on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night.
Awesome. Thanks, Jesse.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, before you go anywhere, don't go anywhere. We're going to pray, and we're going to pray for students. Okay, let's do it. Jesus, thank you so much for this day to gather in this place and worship. Father, it is our prayer that as we take these few minutes that you will captivate our hearts. You know where we've walked this week. You know the things that we've gone through. You know the things that we're going to walk through in the week ahead. We ask that this morning, in the next few minutes, that you would prepare our hearts for the things that you want to do inside of us. I know some of us, there's a lot. Taken the way we see the world. We ask that you'd be peeling those layers back and you draw us close to you. Father, this morning, we're so grateful for Jesse. We're so grateful for Jesse and the team of people that are striving to invest in some really incredible young men and young women. And so our prayer, Father, that you would continue to develop a team, that you'd help men and women who are older be willing to be with them. And God, we pray that there'd be an incredible, incredible legacy that's left that impacts and changes our city. We ask that you do an amazing thing through your church, your people, and through students. In Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. All right, thank you, Jesse. I want to ask you to just go ahead and stand with us again. We're going to sing some songs. Now, a couple things. You might not know the songs. So if you don't know the songs, we just encourage you to kind of mumble along until you get it, right? If you don't feel comfortable singing, it's okay. If you get tired of standing, sit down. One of the things I like to do in worship is I just open up scripture. You know, sometimes you don't feel like singing, but maybe this morning while everybody else is singing around you, open to the middle of the Bible, find the book of Psalms, okay? And just trust that God will speak to you, and maybe as you just read and absorb. This morning, God wants to speak to you. Amen? This morning, God wants to speak to you so that he can transform you so that you can be a part of his mission in our world. Let us let him do that. Let's worship.
What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares.
And there is no other name that has been given among men by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. You are the author and perfecter of faith. You have sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you beckon us to come with full confidence. You intercede. You have paved the way for broken men and broken women like us to come in front of the presence of Holy God. And it's amazing, really, when we say that, that we get to come and just, for many of us, humbly just stumble into your presence this morning. So I ask that you would receive our stumbling. Some of us, we're still weak from many days that have been hard. Some of us have stumbled in this morning from a long season of doubt. Some of us have stumbled in this morning with our hands honestly still involved in things that are personally destructive. We have stumbled into this place, and what is so amazing, Jesus, is that you have paved the way for stumblers. And I ask that in the next few moments, as we open your word, that your Holy Spirit would translate holy words to stumblers. And in a few minutes, may we get up and may our walk be lighter and our feet have much clearer direction and our hands have much more strength and our eyes and the eyes of our heart be more fixed on you and your design and your mission for us than ever before. Would you do that among us, Jesus, Jesus, the only name given to us. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Or I don't need to tell you what to do. Stand if you want. It's okay. Some of you know this, that I now have a granddaughter. So you'll notice I didn't say I am now a grandpa. But I do have a granddaughter. We're sorting the other part out. But I don't know, a week or so ago, my wife is an educator. She believes that even when they're a month old, they should be read to. So I'm going to read you something I was reading a little bit ago. Okay, it's called, can you go in the front row see it? What is it? Are You My Mother? All right, so I'm going to read a little bit for you. A mother bird sat on her egg, and the egg jumped. Some of you are wondering, did we really come for this? Okay, just hang with me a little bit, okay? All right. We don't start like this every time, okay? So a mother bird sat on her egg, and the egg jumped. I must get something for my baby bird to eat, she said, so she went away. Should I show you the pictures? You can't see in the back. It's going to be hard, but I'll hold it up for you, okay? Okay, there you go. Ken and Diane, so good to have you guys here. I didn't get to see Ken and Diane. I think last week was the first week I think you walked in, and Diane, she's been through it, and we've prayed so much for you, Diane. And Ken has been through it right alongside you. So we're so glad to have both of you here, by the way. So, all right. All right, back to our story. I must get something from my baby bird to eat, she said, and so away she went. Inside the nest, the egg jumped, it jumped and jumped and jumped until out came, anybody know? A baby bird. And the baby bird says, "Where is my mother?" He did not see her anywhere. I will go and look for her, he said. So out of the nest, he went down, 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 plop. The baby bird could not fly, but he could walk. Now I will go and find my mother, he said. Are you my mother? The baby bird asked the kitten, and the kitten just looked and looked. It didn't say a thing. Are you my mother? The baby bird asked a hen. No, said the hen. Are you my mother? The baby bird asked a dog. I'm not your mother. I'm a dog, said the dog. Are you my mother? The baby bird asked the cow. How could I be your mother? Said the cow. I am a cow. Well, the baby bird stopped to think, and the kitten and the hen were not his mother. The dog and the cow were not his mother. I have a mother, said the baby bird. I know I do. And I will find her. I will. I will. Just then, the baby bird saw a big thing. You are my mother, he said. And the big thing just said, snort. Oh, no, said the baby bird. You're clearly not my mother. You are a scary snort. Feels that way sometimes, doesn't it? You find yourself in a scary snort. Anybody say amen? Oh, man. So the snort lifted the baby bird up, up, up. Then something happened. The snort put the baby bird right back in the tree. The baby bird was home. Then the mother bird came back. I know who you are, said the baby bird. You're not a kitten or a hen or a dog. You're not a cow or a snort. You are a bird, and you are my mother. For the next few weeks, we're going to talk about identity. It's up there behind me. We're going to talk about identity. The word identity is a rather popular and well-used word right now, and also very divisive. And so we're going to climb into it and climb into this subject of identity over the next few weeks. And if you're with us this morning and you're not a Jesus follower, I first just want to say we are completely honored that you'd be here. And it's my hope that over the next few weeks together, this will be an important part of your journey back home. And if you are a Jesus follower over the next few weeks, it is my hope that there will be some clarity. There'll be some strength so that you will know how to engage in identity, which is everywhere, not just in the world and not just on Facebook and the internet. The issues of identity are in our very homes. And as a Jesus follower, it is my hope that you will feel much more equipped. We talk a lot about identity, identity politics, identity like sexual identity, gender identity, and I am completely surprised at Christians' response to the issues of identity in 2022. I'm completely surprised because we as Christ followers seem lost when it comes to identity issues, and in our lostness, we have a tendency to respond in one of two ways. One is we respond out of fear, and that fear comes out with aggressiveness and anger, caustic behavior and defensiveness. Or we go the other side, and we recuse ourselves from the conversation and the identity spaces. I think that what has become really relevant to us as Christ followers is we have become confused on where we find our identity. And when we're unsure about where our identity is found, we have no answers or any hope to the people around us. And so it is my hope that over the next few weeks, we discover some clarity about who we are. Now, identity issues are not new to us in 2022. Let's just say this right now. Okay, let's just get it out. Identity and identity issues, identity confusion is not new to 2022. It's not new to Americans. It's not new to our culture. It's not new to humanity. Human beings have struggled since the beginning of time to understand who they are, why they're here, do they matter, how should they live. I don't think I need to go any further than to any of our experiences meeting somebody for the very first time. So if you've ever been in a group, maybe in a classroom setting or a small group, and you're sitting with some people that you don't really know, and someone says, let's get to know each other. And you'll say, tell us a little bit about yourself. And as you go around the room, always, I wrestled through this week using the word always, and I'm pretty sure that it's always true. I don't know that I can think of an exception of being in a room with people, getting to know each other, and then someone will say, let's get to know each other, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and everybody defaults to not sharing who they are, but sharing what they do every time. We have begun to substitute things that we can do, things that we can buy, things that we can own, things that we have a craving for, things that people pay us for. We've begun to substitute that for our identity. It's why when you say, tell me a little about yourself, you say, well, I'm a carpenter, or I'm a doctor, or I'm a teacher, or I vote Democrat, or I vote Republican. That's all you need to know about me. I'm a Seahawks fan. I have an attraction to this kind of person. I have attraction to this kind of person. No, those are not who you are. Those are simply things that you do. And at the best, they serve as a mere distraction to the search and quest for knowing who you are. And that quest for knowing who you are can be discouraging. It can be painful. I want to read to you this from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah says, we look for light, but all is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like the dead. Wow, does that describe a generation? That's us. We stumble, we grope, we're like people without eyes. We do not know who we are, why we are here, how should we live, and do we even matter? We struggle with identity. Now, Isaiah is not the only one to notice this. A couple thousand years ago, Solomon said, I've noticed something about human beings. In Ecclesiastes, he says this, I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. I've seen it. As human beings, we're broken. We have this burden, and this brokenness, the burden is that we're constantly trying to figure out who we are, why we're here, how should we live, and do I even matter? What is my identity? And oddly enough, God has not only given us a burden, Solomon goes on to say he's also given us a beacon. Then the next sentence he says this, yet he has also set eternity in the human heart. What an incredible paradox, Solomon says, I have watched, is that human beings are running around groping like they're in the dark. They are lost. They cannot find their identity. But at the very same time, God has left his fingerprints on their soul as a beacon to lead us back home. So, all isn't lost. I painted this picture that it's discouraging, it's depressing. I find it to be incredibly dangerous for human beings not to know why they're here. And it's a dark time. But I want you to know that not all is lost. That you and I have been given an incredible gift. From beginning to the end of this book called the Bible is a story. It's the story of God. It's the story of God interacting with broken human beings who have lost their identity. At the core of the gospel, Christians call the good news that Jesus came, we call it the gospel, right? At the core of the gospel is identity. The reason why, let's be really clear here, the reason why Jesus came is because men and women do not know who they are, why they're here, that they even matter, so God sent his son to redeem our broken identity. It's why Jesus referred to us often as sheep, and not just sheep. Anybody know what kind of sheep? Yeah, be bold, a little louder. Lost sheep. We're wandering. desperately trying to find our identity in things that people pay us for. We're constantly trying to find our identity in keeping somebody happy, getting someone to like me or fitting in. Amen? Just fitting, belonging to a group, a club, an organization, a lunch table. We're lost. And Jesus came to redeem our broken identity. Now, nowhere is this clearer than in the book of 1 John. Now, I'm going to ask you this morning to open up to the book of 1 John. We have been walking through this really great book in the end of the New Testament. It's a little book, but it is powerful. And for the next few weeks, we're going to camp out in 1 John chapter 3. So if you have a Bible, I want you to find 1 John 3. If you don't have a Bible, you can always pull out your phone. There's Bibles all over the internet, okay? And we're going to read just the first few verses of 1 John 3. And I hope that you see so clearly this incredible news. You can read along with me. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. John's heart is aching with his own generation and the generations to come. He's like, I want you to know and understand who you are. And he uses the word potapos. Just say potapos for me, just for fun. I rarely pull out Greek words because I don't know anything about Greek, but I was so incredibly blown away at this. So potapos. Okay, so potapos. Potapos is the word that John writes in his original language that is translated first by the King James. The King James, I don't even need to read it because it's etched into my memory from an old song. Behold what manner. Anybody like do Sunday school when you're a kid? Behold what manner the love the Father has given. Okay, only two. Oh, the clap. At least some of you do the clap. All right, so the King James translates this, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Amplified version says this, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we would be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. The Message says it this way, what marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We are called children of God. The word potapos literally means this, what country is this? John knows no other way to say it than this. I'm going to tell you something that's foreign to every human being. It's like we're looking into another country, a foreign language, but it's something that if you could grasp and understand, it would transform every part of your life. So he says, potapos. Oh, one more time. Okay, potapos. He said, this stuff is amazing. Here it is. We are called children of God. And then he says, and not just called by name only. He says, we literally are children of God by nature and character. We've been transformed. Because of the work of Jesus, you and I get the privilege of not just getting a name badge, but having every part of us transformed into being a child of God. Who am I? John says, let there be no doubt because of the work of Jesus. I am now and forever and will never lose this. I am now a child of God. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, for that is what we are. I have been moved from broken to belonging, and no one can steal that away from me. Amen? You see why earlier I used the word surprising? What surprises me in 2022 is that Jesus' followers have such little to say in identity spaces. And it just blows me away because you know who you are. Your identity has been redeemed. You have been, the Bible calls it, born again. You're going to forget potipos. But can you say born again? This is a word that Jesus himself used. In John chapter 3, an older gentleman comes and knocks a door at night. He's struggling to know who he is, why he's here. How is he to live, and does he even matter? And he knocks on the door, and Jesus cuts right to the chase. He looks at this old guy, and he says this, John 3. You must be born again. Every one of us must be transformed from our broken condition to becoming children of God, and Jesus has done this. John writes this in John 1:12. He says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The very moment that you said, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, and I ask that you forgive me of my sins and my waywardness. I'm putting my trust in you. At that very moment, you were transformed. Not in name, but in character. Your very DNA, you became a child of God. This is now your identity forever. You are no longer what you buy, what you sell, what you earn. You are no longer what you tweet. You are no longer who you are on the outside or what you feel on the inside. You are no longer who you keep happy or how long you keep them happy. You are no longer the club that you belong to. Now and forever, you are a child of God. You are home. Be at rest. Amen. Because of the work of Jesus, not only you can know who you are, but you can know why you are here. John writes, he says, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. John says the issue really is intimacy. The issue is that you have been placed here on planet Earth. Every human being has been placed here on planet Earth to be in an intimate relationship with the Father. And that breakdown of that intimate relationship with the Father is what has sent us on this crazy quest to belong. I told you from beginning to end, this is a story of God, and the story of God intersecting with the broken identity that we have. In the opening pages of the book of Genesis, there were a couple of people that God created. Anybody remember their names? A little louder? Yeah, Adam and Eve. Okay, so I want you to feel successful, okay? I try to give you easy ones, all right? So the very beginning, God creates two people. Their names are Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, the beginning of the story is a struggle over identity. You recognize that? They are doing great. They are having this fantastic interaction and intimate relationship with God. And all of a sudden, the world comes in via a tempter and says, hey, you're missing out. You are made for something more. All you need to do is buy. All you need to do is consume. If you buy this, get this, own this, make this thing as yours, you consume it, then you could really know your identity. And Adam and Eve, by the way, both, okay? Adam and Eve both buy into this. They give up on their relationship and they begin to chase doing, owning, consuming. And the very moment they jump into this, the relationship becomes severed. Watch this in Genesis 3. It says, the man and his wife now heard the sound of the Lord as he is walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And then they hid from the Lord. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden, but the Lord called, where are you? I made you for walks in the garden. I made you to know me and me to know you. I made you for intimacy. That's why I made you. That's why you are here. But you see, our broken sense of identity and our quest in things that we do has created this separation between us and God. But Jesus came to restore that. Not just make you and name the child of God, but to restore the brokenness so that you can know him. In the moments before Jesus was crucified, he was praying in John 17. Listen to what he prays. He says, God, I have made you known to them. And then he says, I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Why am I here? I'm here so that I may be in an intimate, real relationship with God himself. God made me because he wants to enjoy me. Isn't that amazing? And God wants you to enjoy him back. It's why you are here. You are not here to keep up with your neighbor. You're not here to beat your neighbor. You're not here to buy, own, consume. You are here to know. Isn't that amazing? And because of Jesus and his work, you absolutely really can. John goes on. He says, I want you not to only know who you are and why you're here, but I want you to know how you should live. And because of Jesus, you now have the incredible high call of reflecting his character and his mission here on planet Earth. He goes on to say this, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be made like him. All you who have this hope in him, you purify yourself just as he is pure. Because he has redeemed us, and now we know we have a new and restored identity as children of God. Now we live it out here on planet Earth. This is how I live my day. This is how I plan my schedule. This is how I organize my life. It should be about reflecting Jesus and his character in any way I can with these futile hands. Back in John 17, that prayer just before he was crucified, I want you to hear another part of Jesus' prayer. He said, Jesus, I have given them the glory. That's an amazing phrase, by the way. I have given them the glory. You have been given the glory from God. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Watch this, verse 23, he says, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Well, that's a good one, right? They may be brought to complete unity. Then he says this, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus says, I've given them my glory. I've given them the glory that you gave me so that the world could see my character and mission. You know why you're here? You are here to know Jesus intimately. How should you live? Live in a way that reflects his character and his mission to the world. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5 says, and he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised again. Last, I'm going quickly, but this is an introduction to a great month ahead. So, fourth thing. John wants us to know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. That whether or not you and I matter to anybody else, whether or not anybody sees us, recognizes us, thanks us, that we matter to God himself. Potipos. It's like a foreign language. It's like looking into another country. But John says, I want you to see into the other country. I want you to see across the divide of all the negativity that you've lived with. All the stuff that you've said and others have said about yourself. I want you to look across the divide and I want you to see something. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. You know, the value of something is determined by what is paid for it. And God Himself paid everything for you. When God looks at you, He doesn't see the list of your failures, the list of things that you could have done and have never done them. He looks at you and He sees something worth dying for. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. He's talking about you. Amen? He's not talking about somebody else. He's not talking about the person sitting next to you. Can we say this? He's talking about me. Did you say that? He's talking about me. You absolutely matter. Because of the work of Jesus, my value is evidenced. Not by what people say of me, but by the incredible price that God Himself paid for me. And I don't care if you're in this room and you're 12. Or I don't care if you're in this room and you're 92. God wants you to remember that you matter. I want to take you back to John 1:12. We read that a few minutes ago. And I know one of the challenges at Discovery, I'll be honest with you, this is one of your first times with this, one of the challenges, I just love Scripture, and I just threw a ton at you. You'll see some people around you have been writing like this, and I know there's a lot to keep up with. My hope is that you will see from beginning to end God's heart for you. You know, we talked about this a few weeks ago, some things that John said. John says, you don't need anybody to teach you. You don't need somebody to entertain you this morning. One of my hope is I hope that you would look across the country, this world, and you'd peer just for a moment into eternity. And you'd see this otherworldly love that God has for you. And that you could recognize and put on the identity that God has designed you to wear, that you are a child of God. That is your identity. And you are here to know Him. And if you want to know what to do, reflect Him, His character, and His mission, and hold on every day of your life that you matter. Now, this is reserved for only a few people who for a moment look into the other country and say, I want it. That's where we're going back to John 1:12. And John 1:12, to all who received Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but children born of God. To all who did receive Him. So this is the select few that all of this is reserved for. It's reserved for men and women who sit and look onto that other country and say, I receive you, Jesus. It has nothing to do with church attendance. It has nothing to do with your voting record. It has nothing to do with where you stand on masks or vaccinations. It only comes down to what you do with Jesus Christ. So let me invite you this morning for a few minutes. The piano is going to play, and we're going to have a couple moments of just stillness. And if you're here this morning and you have never been sure about who you are and why you're here and if you matter, and you want that to change, I'm going to invite you to pray along with me. A prayer that men and women have prayed for the last 2,000 years. It goes something like this, and you can put it in your own words. God, I have spent a lifetime trying to find my significance in all sorts of things. If you want, you could list them. You could say, I have tried to find my value in keeping people happy. I have tried to find my value in success, or keeping up, or not failing. I have struggled to fit in. I've struggled to belong. And I'm realizing this morning as we talk that my desire to find my significance in external things is sin, and it has only made a separation between you and me. And so I'm asking this morning that you forgive me. And Jesus, I believe that you are the only way out. You are the Son of God, and I trust you. That's what Jesus was talking about to that old guy who knocked on the door. His name was Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. Born of the Spirit. Right now, here this morning, if you prayed with me, the New Testament says that you are born again. You are now and forever a child of God, not in name, not just a badge. At this very moment, you have opened the door of your soul, and Jesus himself has entered in, and he is transforming you from the inside out. Father, I'm grateful for a few minutes in your word to be reminded of who we are and why we're here. Over the next few weeks, I ask that you would transform the way that we see ourselves, the way that we see you, and the way that we see people in the world around us. Father, it's my hope and my prayer that you would empower your people, that you'd empower us in this moment. I think what an incredible moment in time where so many people are wrestling with identity. It's the real issue of the human soul. And I'm praying that you would empower us, not to preach at people, but to just invite people into an incredible journey of redeeming and rediscovering identity that is found only in Christ. I pray that you would empower us to do that in 2022. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. I lost track of time. I'm sorry. It's 11:03, but I hope you guys can carve out a few more minutes because we don't want to be done yet. Is it okay? Okay. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to join us. We're going to worship together in a song. And if you would like to pray with somebody, I'm going to invite you during the song, or even afterwards, to make your way down front. And we're gonna have a couple people here that are gonna be praying for you. I know one right here, and I'm looking, oh, there's my other go-to. So Charles, did you heard that? I'm inviting people to come down. So Charles is here and Barb is here. And if you'd like to pray, they're gonna have their masks on, and it might be a little bit loud, but you come down and they're gonna pray for you, okay? Let's worship. We stumbled in here. As we walk out, we refuse to stumble. You have made us your kids. We have, John writes earlier, we have an anointing already that no one can take. We're going to walk in this week and this day as children of God. And when anyone asks us, who are you? Before we talk about plumbing, before we talk about anything else, we are going to say we are a child of God. We have been redeemed. And I pray, Father, as we live it out, that it would so radiate, that it would be healing to those around us that struggle so much, really struggle so much with who they are. And with no arrogance here, none at all, because we have all sat in that place. We have all sat in that very same place, and we have been so blessed to be redeemed. Let us walk in incredible humility and power in Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Hey, if you didn't get a chance and you want to still pray with somebody, we're still going to have some people here to pray with you if you'd like. Barb is still over here on my left, and more than welcome to see her. We'll be in here for a few more minutes, so if you want to stay, I know sometimes it might feel weird to come down in the middle of a song to stay. I'm going to be in the hallway. I'd love to meet some of you. And don't forget, drop that connection card off in that box on my right or your left. Those of you that are part of the body, remember and be reminded that that part of worship is living generously. And again, if you're a guest, we don't ask for any money right now. If this becomes home, you want to be part of the mission, then you can jump in. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.